right, praise God. Watch for radio. Hope I'm not pegging this mic. Mike Lane says I'm pegging this mic. It's probably the game. Yeah, I'm going to have to redo this whole studio eventually. Check, check, one. All right, so here's the deal. I got my pastor joining us in the beginning of the hour here. Check one, test. Check one, test, 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 one, two. And then we got Mike Horsey. Bottom of the hour, I got red beer in the line. Hey, we got Mega Mo in the room. Hey, Mega Mo, Indonesia boy. Standby unit, check one. I got a busy show. I got to get going. Hello? Yeah, Redbeard, you're live. Am I modulating this mic?
Yeah, you seem like you're good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, I got. I'm not gonna have time to fix that tonight.
Yeah, you just sound a little loud.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
All right.
Something is, you know, gone wrong, you know, with that cat.
Speaking on you?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so, you know, praise God, we are live on the radio tonight. Tonight is June 11th. I'm going to get my pastor on the line. He's going to join us for a bit, and then we're going to get Mike Horsey on, Bible expert Mike Horsey. So stand by. Let me try to patch in my pastor. This is my pastor for 16 years. Jimmy, you met him, right, years ago?
I did.
So it's just a miracle that I am able to get him on tonight because... he actually texted me just before the broadcast, and I was like, beautiful. You know, there's no better time to try to get him on.
Okay.
But I just hope he charged his phone. Yeah. So, we're at the top of the hour.
Blessings.
Hey, Apostle Randy, my pastor for 16 years now. Jimmy, this is, you remember my pastor, right?
I do.
Yeah, you met him in 2000, I believe.
For the World Trade
Bless
Center.
You.
Right, praise God, and we are live on the air at WWCR tonight. This is my pastor for a very long time, and I'm blessed. Listen, I had to grab him tonight because he just happened. I said he texted me at the perfect time. Now I can get him. So we're blessed. Amen. You know something? As I mentioned to you on the air before, there have been folks that have, especially Sammy, that has said he saw you on TV, I guess, a satellite years ago.
That's
so,
a good blessing.
You know, this is my church, Better Life Church in Wyandance, and my pastor. So, you know, Pastor, if you want to give a few minutes to release a word, I know you just want to do about 10, and we're pretty busy tonight, too. So,
that's good.
I'd like to hand the mic over to you, sir.
Okay. Well, thank the Lord. Well, I'm really glad to be here with the man of God, Richard. I tell you, Brother Richard is a wonderful, blessed man of God. I thank God for his life. I thank God for what he's doing in him. And with him, and I'm very grateful for how the Lord is using him, especially as we're embarking on getting the work of the Lord and the gospel of Christ out across the planet.
Amen.
Before Jesus return, you know. I was just looking in my Bible at Mark chapter 8, and I was reading Mark 8, and I found myself going down here to verse 21, and I'm just got a thought that came to me in Mark 8:21, and he said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand?" And I think sometimes people do have difficulty in understanding truth. We would figure the truth, as the Bible said, the truth will set folks free, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and the truth of God's word coming to us on a regular basis. Jesus just made this statement after he had asked them about watching out for the bread of the Pharisee, the leaven of the Pharisee, and watching out for the leaven of the government officials, and they thought he was talking about bread. He said, you guys aren't getting it yet. He said, didn't I just multiply bread and fish? How many were fed? They said 5,000. He said, did I do it again? They said, yes, 7,000. So they knew that God, through Christ, our Lord and Savior, was doing the miraculous. But sometimes the truth is so simple right in front of us, we get confused. And at that moment, he wasn't talking about the multiplying of the fish and the loaves. He was talking about, don't let anybody deceive you with false truth, heretic behavior, wrong doctrine, falsehoods of the word. And I think as long as we keep giving to the people that are tuning into this great program, end time information, the word of God, the back of everything we're doing, spiritual instruction, directions for their betterment. And one thing I love about building up the body of Christ, we always got to keep in mind about the water of the word, the sincere milk of the word, and the meat of the word.
Amen.
And that's because we got some people that can't eat meat, so you got to give them the sincere milk. And you got folks that can't handle the sincere milk of the word, so you got to give them the water of the word. But I think in whatever way we give the word of God and use wisdom in our presentation, we will affect hundreds, if not thousands, even 10,000s of lives across the earth before the Lord returns.
Amen.
So that's my thought to you today. In the beginning was the Word, and we've got the Word now, and Jesus saying, really, don't get distracted in Mark 8. Don't let them pull you off in some strange dilution of the Word, but grab the truth. Truth will help you. Truth will encourage you. As wild as the truth of the Word is sometimes, that truth of the Word of God can transform our lives and make us become that which we never imagined we could become in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Yeah, that's right on, Pastor. And
yes, I love all of you.
I love you too, sir. And I'm hoping to be there playing guitar in the morning.
Man, I'm looking for you. I need that guitar anointing.
You know, I'm so good. I don't know. I got to wait till you see my new guitar. I got a double neck in the shop, but it'll be out next week.
That's what I need, man. I need a double portion guitar.
The sound was great. Guitar. Yeah, today in practice, the sound is great. They got it nailed. It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
The Lord. It's the Lord blessing, and I bless you for serving and being faithful to him.
Amen.
Listen, I love you. I love all of you that are working together. And listen, let me give a shout out to everybody out there. Just keep running the race for Jesus. I bless you all.
Amen.
In the mighty name of the Lord. Amen.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, man. God.
Good night. Good night, Apostle. All right, praise God. So we were able to get him in. That's my pastor for a long time. And Jimmy met him many years ago. Yeah. I think Jimmy likes him because he's got a beard.
Yeah, I met him and his wife. His beard's awesome, unlike Rich, who's a bathhouse boy.
Well, I just want to touch on a few verses here, okay? I'm still, he contacted me because I was going over some scriptures with him earlier, specifically, because he's a King James reader, has been many years. And when I gave him the thing with the unicorn appearing in Numbers, he got alerted and texted me. I mean, it's quite obvious. Anyway, listen, anyone that's ever studied the book of Numbers, especially me, Numbers was a very adventurous book. I mean, I love it. I mean, you have so many stories. You got Phineas, you got Balaam, you have, the Moabite tribes coming down and the lowering of the Mount of Peor. I preached out of that so many years, so many times, in Numbers 24 and 25. And one thing I know is the book of Numbers. I mean, it's just an exciting book. And when I saw in Numbers 23, verse 22, now says, I'm going to read it. Now, listen, folks, there's something going on. I'm going to leave it at that, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to read it to you, and it says, God brought them out of Egypt, okay? He hath as were the strength of a unicorn. Okay? Now, this never used to say this in my Bible. I'm telling you right now. Unicorn did appear. I remember debating this years ago In fact, I think it was in CC1 or CC2 years ago. I remember defending the word unicorn in the book of Psalms and Job, you know? And it was there, but it never was here because I was arguing with people that were trying to put down the Bible. And I specifically know it was not in Numbers. It also appears in Numbers 24, verse 8. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He had, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Okay, it never was there either. So this thing, whatever's happening, and a lot of people say, well, you know, the Word of God cannot change. That's right. The Word of God cannot change in my heart. Okay? And I'm going to show something to you in... also, it appears, again, this unicorn popped up in Deuteronomy. It popped up in Isaiah. And it popped up in... forgot the other verse. But it's popping up everywhere. It's like a homosexual word or something. Because the homosexual always dress up like unicorn. So I don't know what this is. Okay, but it was not... I feel a little defiled that it's in here. Because I love this book of Numbers. Now, I will touch on this. A lot of people, the blanket statement of this is that, well, God's word can't be changed. And that's the blanket statement. And I say that's true because I know the word. And what I know is not going to be changed. Okay? You can, listen, you can rewrite the whole Bible tomorrow and give it to me. It's not going to affect what I know in my heart. Amen? Amen? So, in the book of Jeremiah, verse 36. This was the son of Josiah. His name was Jehoiakim. He was a king that was being rebuked, and the word of God came in a great format of scrolls, and the word was to be brought forth to this king as a rebuke. And this is in Jeremiah 36. I'd encourage you to read it, because this blanket statement, the word of God can't be destroyed or touched, is countered here, because the word of God was burned by Jehoiakim 4 times. Even when they threw Jeremiah in jail, he was still able to keep rewriting the word of the Lord. How did he do that? He rewrote it because he knew the word. It was in his heart, and he brought it forth. Yet the paper was destroyed, okay, and burned. Knowing the word is very important, but can the enemy attack the text and the paper? Obviously, in Jeremiah 36, it happened. So that's out the window, isn't it? Also, the other argument in John 14, somebody told me, don't trust my memories. Okay, so my memory of the word, don't trust that, only trust what's being put before me. And I got a real problem with that, because in John 14, verse 26, it says that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance every word that the Lord spoke to me. So when I'm reading the word, the Lord is speaking to me.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean, Jimmy? So if the Lord has spoken to me, and listen, I'm going to give you an example, an extreme example. A lot of people say that I might be psyop now or mind controlled, okay? And if that's the case, then I've been mind controlled for years. Because I'll give you an example. And a lot of people came to my meetings now that, you know, listen, when I designed Strike the Head of the Serpent logo, I was, Genesis 3 was one of my favorite books also, chapters of Genesis, because it really outlined Christ coming down to strike the head of the serpent in such a way that it would bruise him, you know, a blow. And I love that, you know. And, you know, I got a hold of Tommy, one of the best artists I've ever met. And he, I told him my idea. And I wore the shirt today. I still have the shirt. And it actually says Genesis 3:15 on my shirt with the fist coming down. Now, the whole idea of Genesis 3:15, it used to read in my Bible, it says, he will bruise thy head. Okay, that's what it used to say. And that's why I have a man's fist, Christ's fist, coming down, smashing the head of the serpent. Strike the head of the serpent. Get it? It's my logo. That was the logo. Now, people are trying to tell me it was it. It. Like Cousin It from the Addams Family. That it. Like that. And I'm like, it was never it. Okay? It was he. It was a revelation of Christ. And the next, it goes on to say his heel. So obviously it was he. Okay? So it don't work for me there. Okay? So that's how the logo came about with Tommy, was that scripture. Okay? Very simple. Now, I'm not in a delusion. I know that used to say that. Some people are contacting me. How is this happening? Why is this happening? We'll get into that. But I want to touch on something important I feel is important also. Is in 2 Kings 7, it talks about an officer that didn't want to receive the word of Elisha, of the windows of heaven being opened. Now, Maria has been having several dreams of a rapture. I hate to use that term. Let's call it coding away. And, you know, it seems to me that God is speaking to her about, you know, having oil in your lamp for this. One of them had to do with a wedding shuttle, and the next one had to do with a flight that her father gave her a ticket to a flight. So what I'm saying is, don't lock yourself out with your confession. Keep an open-ended contract with the Lord. Very important. Always keep an open-ended contract with the Lord, because you never know with the Lord. But your confession and the way you seal yourself with your word can bind you. But when it's with people, you can be that way more assertively. But with the Lord, be open. Say, Lord, thy will. That's what that means. Thy will be done. And I'm saying this to say this, that this king, this officer in 2 Kings 7, he said, surely the windows of heaven will not be open. He couldn't see it. He just couldn't obtain the fact that God can turn around this horrible situation. People starving. This is the whole story of the lepers, you know, when they went into the camp. But this word was not received by him, and then the word went to him that you will see, but you will not eat. We know he died. He was trampled, I believe. But the key was that he didn't have an open-ended contract with the Lord. Anybody know what an open-ended contract is? I believe that we should be that way with the Lord, especially concerning any caught away. Because Enoch was not, because the Lord took him. Okay, so the principle is in Scripture with Elisha. Okay, so if the principle exists, don't sit there and cross your arms and say, I won't be caught away in twinkling an eye. No way. You know, don't be that way. Just say, Lord, if it's thy will, let it be so. And especially since Marie is having dreams about this, I am being tiptoeing a little bit more delicately around it, because I don't want to seal myself out with a bad confession like the officer did in 2 Kings 7. Right, Jimmy?
That's exactly right. When we sit here and we think about these things and the way they're changing, and if we can't keep this stuff stayed up in our hearts and our minds and in our spirits, then what else do we have to do? I mean, when we start, you know, saying something was there that has never been there before, aren't we blocking the Father from what our real reality of things were? I mean, it's ridiculous to sit there and say something that you know deep in your spirit was no longer that way. It was never that way. I mean, you have convinced yourself at that point into a delusion that somebody else is trying to share with you just because you can't prove it. Okay? Yeah. We have to rely on the Spirit that the Father gave us more than what we hear, more than what we see, more than what anybody we know hears and sees. We have to rely on His Spirit within us to lead us and guide us into all truth. And when we look at the Scriptures and we see things that have changed, like it shall bruise your head.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. He shall bruise your head. You know, everybody knows that Scripture. I mean, the whole unicorn popping up I mean, we all remember that to be a bull or an ox. Everybody you ask about that scripture, nobody remembers a unicorn there until they word and start reading it, and then they're like, oh, yeah, that was just always a unicorn. The last few days I've been posting things that I found at garage sales and thrift stores that have the correct Lord's Prayer on them, the exact way that everybody I ask to quote it quotes it. And then now the people that you know, blasted me and said that, no, that's the way it always was, now they're trying to find resources of why it was that way 1,000 years ago, you know, in a text that I've never seen before in my life.
Right.
And I'm remembering it from this text that I've never seen before in my life, you know, not because it was actually in my Bible.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, what's going on here is it's not just the word that's being touched. And people say, word of God can't be touched. And I just told you in Jeremiah 36 it was. But Jeremiah had it in his heart. That's what we should be doing. I'm telling you now, unicorn never was in Numbers 23:22. Okay, you could burn me at the stake. You could do whatever you want. I will never, ever admit to that because I've read that book so many times. And I'm telling you now, the ministry logo that I had designed with Tommy, okay, in my King James, because that's what I use, always said, he will bruise thy head, okay? It never said it. I consider that disrespectful, okay, to my Lord, calling him an it. I don't like it, okay? And it was he. That's why it goes on to say his heel. H-I-S, his heel. Get it? It was he will bruise thy head. It was not it. That's a disrespectful statement, in my opinion, okay? And I don't like it. And what's going on here is they are messing around, okay, with this God particle or whatever they've been doing, and it's not just in this realm, okay? They're manipulating many things, okay? I just saw a video today, Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and they called the woman at Bragg. Now it's Bragg, and Bragg's never existed. Anybody ever use Bragg's apple cider vinegar? Well, it never existed. It's always Bragg. So the guy called there today to ask them, when you change your name? They said, never change your name. It's always been Bragg. Okay, so there's something weird going on. Okay, and then what did she say? What did the operator say at Bragg? It used to be Bragg's. Said, we're getting hundreds of calls of people asking the same question. Okay, so it's not just you people. This is a sign of the times we're living in. I believe this is an alert. This is a heads up to get ready, real, and right. Get oil in your lamp to evangelize the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as you can in this hour. Because I'm telling you now, time is short. And when that door, when the fullness of the Gentiles is in, that means the Lord's not striving with the Gentile. I hate to say it, but it appears to me that the seed of Abraham will be ministered to more, the way I read Romans, that's the way it looks to me. And if that's the case, the Holy Ghost is not going to strive. I my opinion, the way I read it, I hate to think of it, but it appears to me that when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, that his spirit will not strive with Gentile anymore. And some of you might not agree with that, but that's just the way I read it in my King James Bible. And, Paul says, you know, think not that God has forgotten his people, that there's a partial hardening on that seed until a certain time. And then there would be a shift back to the Lord's people.
Rich, I mean, it goes even deeper than that. It goes into saying that when, if we don't continue in the Father's ways, that he himself will spirit of strong delusion, that we would believe a lie and be damned. I mean, people need to realize that if they want to continue on in the delusion when they have been proved to the truth, then the Father's going to allow them to stay in that delusion. He's going to allow them to slip further and further and further into that delusion.
Yeah, well, nobody wants anybody in delusion, okay? Nobody wants anybody damned, okay? Nobody wants it, but I would give you a heads up, okay? I've been in this radio show many years, and I'm not just somebody making this up. I know my King James pretty good, and if I'm telling you this, it's either I'm nuts, okay, which is, you can think that if you want, or I have detected something, and Jimmy here has detected something, or we're mind controlled, and we were MK-Ultra'd, okay? So I don't think I was MK-Ultra'd. I don't think I'm under a demonic influence with this. Pretty aware of people on demonic influence. I know how they act. And I'm not exhibiting any of that those characteristics. Thank God. But I will say this. I am definitely putting this warning out again. And I'm going to be patching in Mike Horsey, who's very well-versed in the Word. Probably read the Bible cover to cover more than anybody we know. And I'm going to patch him in because I consider him a little bit more scholarly than me. And it's always good to get somebody on that, you know, it's just like I've talked to doctors and stuff about the human. Listen, a lot of stuff, keep it, you know, the world calls this the Mandela effect. I don't like that term because I don't even like Mandela. Okay. I call it a lying sign and wonder. I call it the ushering in of the lawless one. Will be accompanied by every lying sign and all lying wonders and every wicked deception. That's what it says. It covers every and all. So to limit that word and say, no, not this, well, that's contrary to that scripture. Because we're dealing with a testing time here, folks. And get into the word more than ever. Number one, like I said last week, get into the word strong. Number two, praying more in this hour. Number three, pet sins, gotta go. Anything, you burn it and get it out of your life. Get back to Bethel. Remember in Genesis, if it's still there, there was a time when Jacob said, hey, look, we're going back to Bethel. And that's when it was renamed El Bethel, a double portion. And in that moment, they put everything under the tree, the oak tree. And that was all abominable things, the earrings and so on and so forth. And Jacob was getting clean. After that, later it says that the terror of God went on around them. When you begin to shake off these things, the terror of God goes out on your enemies. The anointing will increase in your life. You need that oil in your lamp in this season. Okay? Number three. Definitely the fasting, add that in, I believe. And evangelizing has to happen in this hour. Because if we know the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, I believe it is. That means people are going to get more wild. Because when God's Spirit is not convicting them, they're just going to go over the top. It's just going to be pretty vicious, I believe. So evangelizing, very important. Even if you could just get some tracks, I think eventually I'll just start giving out free tracks. I'll get maybe some cases here. And if you don't have tracks, we'll get you the tracks like we used to do years ago in 2005, 2006. And then we'll just start sending tracks out for free to whoever we can to get the message out of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't want anybody to not be with the Lord. Who would want that? So, very important, folks.
Well, as you know, Rich, this week some people tried to say, well, Jimmy's backing up on what he said concerning, you know, Scripture being changed and replaced and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, what sparked me off on this whole thing was Matthew 6. I mean, the Lord's Prayer, come on, people. That's something that everybody knows. And if you think something has changed there, and we searched and searched and searched. We searched every one of your Bibles. We searched every one of my Bibles. We searched every one of a couple of our friends' Bibles, and none of them read properly. So
it used to be in Matthew, it was always, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And it's not, trespass is gone, okay? These are subtle changes, folks. Now, they're not all heavily detrimental. But I consider Psalms 119, verse 2, pretty dangerous. And we're going to keep alerting you what we feel are dangerous ones. And I know Psalms 119, verse 2, always said, blessed are those that keep his commandments. Now it says testimonies. So that's a dangerous one, in my opinion. And we'll just keep alerting you. And like Zeph's doing, he's just crossing them out and writing the real word in. And I think unicorn, I don't like that. So I would scratch that and just put wild ox like it used to be. And I don't particularly like Ecclesiastes 3:11, what that has become. It used to be very eloquently written. It would say, he has set eternity in their heart. Beautiful. You know, that's King James. That's how it was. And now the NIV says that. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? So now the King James says he sets the world in their heart. And that just cross that out and put eternity. That's what it used to say. So the King James under attack, and I'll tell you why. King James is the most powerful book, most powerful reading, and also the book of Luke. I used to love the book of Luke. I still do. Book of Luke is the most accurate depiction of the gospel because Luke was a physician, supposedly, and he really got into the work of writing the book of Luke. Most documented cases of deliverance from demons in Luke. Also, the most preaching of hell was always in the book of Luke. So, you know, it was always an attractive book to read. But when you go to Luke 19 now, it talents is gone. It's become pounds, British pounds, and then it says money in the bank. It's become a WWE. Listen, I would have spotted that. That's a WWE event, money in the bank. Okay? It never used to say money in the bank. It used to say money lenders at usury. Okay? So whatever they're doing, whatever they're playing around with, okay, some scriptures, like we said, are just to aggravate me. I think they're doing this. But in the same token, the obedience scriptures are the most important. So if an obedience scripture has been, messed with, we're going to let you know. So let me patch in Mike Horsey. He's been on this all week. He's a seasoned, man of God and seasoned in the word, as you'll see. Stand by. It's any game, people. I mean, we're in the end game.
It's definitely not a game. I can realize what's really taking place here. Spirit of strong delusion.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing excellent. How about yourself, Derek?
I could be better. I could have been raptured. You know.
Yeah, that could be good. That would absolutely be good.
I could have been like, in heaven, like, playing guitar or something. But I'm still here. But, I'm just wondering if they're going to have pizza in heaven. That's one of my main issues.
Probably things that we have never thought of.
Well, that manna, they got sick of that a little bit. But Jimmy, I don't know. They cried out for the flesh, right? That's a prophetic revelation. Mike, you're a seasoned warrior in the Word, and I've heard you preach. And we're live on the air, WWCR tonight, covering a little bit of these demonic things. I specifically think it has to do with CERN, because my wife had a dream of a bottomless pit, and people kept trying to get her to stand over it, and they just said, it's always been that way, it's always been that way. And she didn't want to stay on the piece of the cardboard, and then it was a bottomless pit. So I believe that it has something to do with CERN and opening up dimensions, this fifth element that they've discovered. I think they, like Stephen Hawking warned them to not do this, that they'd open black holes. I think they're entangling in things they ought not. And I think spirits have been loosed into our realm that probably weren't here before.
Correct.
And we're talking of powers that we see in Jambres and Jambri, and when they withstood Moses, those warlocks, they were able to duplicate some pretty powerful signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, duplicating the power of God. Okay, so we're dealing not just with a crystal witch, okay? We're not just dealing with a pinprick voodoo witch. We're dealing with some high-level, okay, altering of reality, okay? And We're talking about bewitchments. You read about bewitchment and when Simon the Sorcerer was able to bewitch an entire city into getting them to think that he was the great power of God. So how can you bewitch an entire city? So if that's the case, you know, Mike, I believe we're going, things have been taken to a different level of activity as far as spirits that have been, maybe. The Wall Street Journal put out an article on CERN and said that they're trying to open the bottomless pit. Was that a joke? I mean, I don't know.
I don't think so, no.
They're messing around.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the fact that God created this world that we live in with a barrier up, and the only way that Satan can actually access this dimension is if there's a door open through sin or through some kind of conjuring mechanism, and I think CERN is the biggest one we've seen yet.
Well, Mike, have you come on? You told me about Genesis 3:15. That was a big one for me because my ministry logo was designed around that verse, and I know it was always He. So, have you come across anything else, or the main ones right now? Obviously, wineskins in Matthew 9 has become bottles. Things of that nature are going on, and it seems like it's they're just trying to irritate us or something. But is there a bigger picture here?
Well, yeah. If you look at the creation event in Genesis, and if you look at how God is spoken of, he's mentioned as the Lord God. Well, of course, that is all in capital letters. But every place he's mentioned as a he or him,
yes.
Now I notice in King James it's no longer capitalized. Now, if you look at the New King James, it still is. So there seems to be an attempt to cast doubt on the deity of God or bring God down to the level of just any other person. We're not talking any other conversation here. We're talking God speaking to the first man, the first woman. And also for him to be used with the preposition it, you know, in that chapter, that really bothers me, you know. Thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Well, he shall bruise, and you know that's first person. I mean, God, he shall bruise thy head.
That's right.
The first mention of the Messiah to come being the seed of the woman, so that's huge. Now, as I've been going through Genesis, I've noticed that there is, over and over again, there's a lessening of the capitalization that used to be there when you're talking about God. So it's very subtle, but
that's a big one, Mike, because that's something I always noticed.
Yes.
You know, the capitalization of he was always important because that's an indication you're talking about, you know, the Lord.
Yes.
And, I haven't noticed. I'm going to go look at that tonight.
Well, and, you know, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, if you look at verse 7, here's another really big one. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. Now, we all know this verse, from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, fowls of the air. And it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, we know who's talking. This is God. That me is small case. It's not even capitalized. This is God actually speaking here. Same thing, too, in Genesis chapter 3 when he refers to us. Now, there's, you know, some difference of opinion as to what the us means. You know, it says man has become like one of us to know good and evil. But remember, God's nature is triune because he said, let us make man in our image. Well, okay, God is talking among the triune nature of God, taking counsel himself. No capitalization. This is really coming against the deity of God, you know, even in the Old Testament. So somebody reading this, newly saved, you get the idea that you're talking to just anyone else or you're listening to this anyone else. Not the case. So,
yeah, that was one of the things in the King James. I always remember that interpreters and the scribe, when they were doing the King James, they definitely did that. Right, Jimmy? I mean,
he brought up the same scripture I was going to bring up, you know, when it says, and I noticed that as well a few days ago when I was reading through Genesis, when it says, let us make man in our own image, in the image of Elohim created he them, male and female. All of the reference that is referencing to the deity is now in lowercase, which again, like the brother said, puts him on the same level as any old Joe walking down the street and not in the personage that he needs to be put in.
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that they would capitalize, King James and the interpreters, they all made that very clear, to capitalize. So the message there of what they're trying to do here is to turn the Lord into an it, you know, it, and also shrink. It's a mockery. That's what it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to go through them and correct them with my pen. You know, I'm going to keep doing that.
Well, I'm keeping a log here of every one that I'm finding. Now, here's one that you can take a look at and see if this makes any sense to you at all. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, and this is where God is talking about his spirit is not going to always strive with man. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men.
Mm.
Okay, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, look at this. The word my is capitalized, and the word spirit is not. We're talking about God's Holy Spirit here. That makes no sense. No, in the King James, my is capitalized, spirit is not.
No, spirit used to be capitalized there.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Chapter 7, verse 3, here's another one very clear. Chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said, and it's very clear, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou all of thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Well, that's a big me. This is God here. No capitalization whatsoever.
Mm.
So this is bizarre. I mean, this is, in my opinion, a blasphemous spirit that is really trying to attack the Godhead and the deity of God. And this is very huge, and it troubles me quite.
Yeah, that is troubling. It's very troubling, because I remember they used to be, and I'm going to check mine. I haven't yet. They used to be capitalized, and I remember I am used to be capitalized. I haven't checked that lately.
Well, Rick, it's just a simple case of grammar. As you know, I've written a couple books, and if I'm talking about Rich, the first time I talk about you, I mention your name, capital R, and then the next time, if I mention you as he or him or in any other kind of personage, I have to capitalize the first letter of that to refer to you. Otherwise, it can refer to anything else. So,
yeah.
I mean, when they take that capital letter away, when they're talking about Yahweh, what are they talking about? Are they talking about some other spirit? Are they talking about some other Elohim? We just don't know.
Yeah. That's troubling. I'm going to look into that. That's a good find, Mike. Again,
brothers, you know, look, what I'd like to do, though, I'd like to just remind us, you and all of your listeners, this is the reason why God gave us that admonition in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and I want to call everybody's attention to this now more than ever. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 says, therefore shall you lay up these words, lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hands, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. Now, this is the admonition that God gave to the children of Israel. They were to talk about this. They were to commune. They were to have fellowship. Whatever they were doing, the Word of God was supposed to be on their thoughts, minds, and hearts. Now, you can see how important it is with this kind of deception that's taking place now, how much this Word has to be written on our hearts. So I want to remind everybody, this is what we really need to take serious now and really actually apply ourselves to.
That's very important. You also note that the scrolls, you know, and the patriarchs and the epistles, we read the epistles, the scrolls were humongous, people, okay? You know, I think the Isaiah scroll was 15 feet long. I mean, you're talking 30, 40 pounds a scroll. They didn't have convenient little Bibles like we do. So they really dug into the Word, okay, is what I'm going to with this. And they really etched it into their spirit and their heart. And for obvious reasons, carrying around scrolls wasn't so easy in those times. Not that they didn't, they did. But as you can know, I mean, carrying around every book and a scroll, you would need a lot of people. But getting back to this attack we're seeing, and we are seeing it, now, I don't know if Mike knows, but Unicorn has appeared in Numbers 23:22. It says brought them out by the strength of a unicorn. It never said that. It used to be ox. Okay?
Yes, an ox.
Yeah. Yes. It's unicorn now. So, you know, it's like a homosexual animal or something. Like when they have the gay parade here in New York City, they're all dressing up like unicorns. Okay? I don't know why. So I don't particularly like that there. I don't contribute God's power to a unicorn. Okay? And that's an abominable thing. Just cross that out and put ox, wild ox in there. Okay? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, then, too, as we continue on this, it's very pervasive. I just want you to see and everybody to be able to take a look at how pervasive this is. Genesis chapter 5, we're getting the generations of Adam there. And verse 2, very clear, it says, male and female, he created them and blessed them and called the name of Adam in the day that they were created. We're talking about God. We're recounting the creation event. He's referred to as he, no capitalization. I mean, you check your King James. Now, the new King James, these are still capitalized, at least for right now.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's a bizarre thing, and I think you brought this up to Isaiah 11:6, where it talks about the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. And, of course, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. Those are the two main verses that
talk
about
that. You know, Mike, it's a good thing you brought that up, because I found another picture of artwork, and it did not include the wolf. I have that image. It hasn't been altered yet, like the other one. This one still has all the animals except the wolf, and it still says Isaiah 11:6 on it. So there is some like residues of this thing making mistakes, and that's one of them. But it was always the lion and the lamb. Okay,
it was, yes.
And
it was.
This whole wolf lying down with the wolf. Okay, don't even bear witness in my spirit. Okay, because Christ always warned of a wolf. Okay, I'm not saying wolves are bad, but I'm saying in the context of what he was contributing the wolf to be, it is just like leaven, for instance. Leaven in scriptures is never a good thing. You know,
exactly.
Right.
That's the whole. When we look at the picture that the Father tries to paint through the Word, the wolf completely throughout Scripture has always been in representation of Satan or something evil or something seeking to devour or destroy. Just like leaven has always been equated to sin and something good, something not righteous in us. When we take that meaning away and we start painting the wolf, you know, and the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, now we've changed the intent and the meaning of the word, which is a very dangerous, dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't bear witness to that verse. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, the leaven is good in Scripture because the woman kneaded in one measure of leaven and to the lump until it was all leaven. I think that was a prophetic word by the Lord on how the enemy was going to keep bringing iniquity into the church. And obviously, it's come to pass. A lot of people don't understand that the first time Messiah showed up on the scene was apostate Judaism, and it appears to me the second time he comes on the scene is going to be apostate Christianity, because we're seeing a lot of people falling away into great delusions, unhealthy teachings, not putting down transgression and sin, you know, just cake-baked, flim-flam gospel that doesn't really bring the desire to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. It's more like God just puts a stamp on it, whatever lifestyle they want. This is very dangerous, and I believe that was the warning about the measure of the kneading of the leaven. I believe the woman was like a Jezebelic spirit, which is very prominent in the church. A lot of control, mind control in the church, and I see it out here all the time. And folks, this is just a heads up. We are not ever saying don't ever stop reading the Word. In fact, like Mike's doing, me and Jimmy are doing, is we're getting deeper in the Word. And we're just noticing things that don't bear witness. Sometimes we're off. I'll call Jimmy and he'll say, like I was off with Jimmy the other day. And that's why it's good to have other people around you. I didn't remember Matrix and in Exodus. So I called Jimmy and he said it was there. So I said, okay. You know, that's how we work it out. But sometimes, you know, you got your antennas up a little too high. And then, but if there's something that we all bear witness that that was not, like Lion and the Lamb, for instance, that wolf was not there. In Isaiah 11, 6, and in Isaiah 65, I believe, 25, it always said the lion and the lamb. But getting back to these changes, I believe this again, I'm going to tell you, this is a sign of the time. This is the ushering in of the lawless one, like it says, will be accompanied with every lying sign and all lying signs and wicked deceptions. Okay? It's every and all listed there.
Right.
So we got, and you know, Mike, you quoted that too on Zeph's show.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing here, right? I mean,
yes. Well, that is what we're seeing. Now, what people have to understand is the Antichrist cannot come on the scene until the way is prepared for him. Now, remember that Satan is a copier of everything that God has done.
Mm.
So as God actually was announced by John the Baptist, there's a spirit that's going to announce the coming of the Antichrist. And that will be a changing of times, laws, decrees.
That's right.
The major deception that we're now seeing. Now, I have a challenge, at least while you can still do this, because I know this is really hard for a lot of people. When they hear the conversation that we're having, it's just a little bit too hard for them to actually really believe that. But I would like to challenge everyone that's listening, while you can still do it, pick any search engine you want, go to your images, and actually punch in Isaiah 11:6, and you'll see picture after picture after picture of lions lying down with lambs, but the text saying the wolf shall lie down with the lamb.
Yeah, I have one of them. I have one, yeah.
Yeah, did all those people make mistakes? I mean, you have a lot of them posted up there. A lot of other people understood it was lion also, but the text is saying wolf. Now, this is very bizarre. Now, you've got a lot of pictures now starting to show up with wolves and lambs, and they are relatively new. But there was not that many people that made that mistake. It was lion. It has been changed to
yes.
wolf.
What Mike's okay. saying is that there, and I have one of those pictures. It's very weird because you see a picture of a lion and a lamb, and then the text on the picture says the wolf and the lamb, which makes no sense. Now, they I don't know how this is... how this mistake is coming about, where whatever this is just leaving some people call it residue of the change or whatever it might be. I don't know. But I am saying that there is a lot of evidence pointing to this happening. And it's not just in the Word. It's in other things that we're not going to get into tonight. But what I'm saying, folks, is keep an eye open and pray for us not to be deceived and pray in this hour not to fall into temptation. I believe that we're entering into a season of betrayal, a lot of friction. And I think if it in fact that the fullness of a Gentile comes in, I believe people are going to get more wicked. And we're seeing a little bit of that in the Switzerland, these ceremonies that they're doing complete. People said they watched those ceremonies and they were feeling sick. I mean, it's like a demonic presence on what yes. they're doing.
Yes, it was.
You know, what are they doing? You know, what are they doing? Where are we now? Where are we on the timeline, folks? You know, could it be that we're right there? And if we are, ask yourself, are these signs, these lying signs and all wicked deceptions, it says... all wicked deceptions. Notice that word, all. Don't think that the enemy is not using that word to his advantage. The enemy knows the word.
and God was going to allow him to do it. Because the rest of that passage says, you know, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved, therefore God brings upon them a strong delusion to make them believe a lie. So God is going to allow Satan to do that. Now, we have to also remember that Jesus warned us that unless he shortened the days, no flesh would be saved. And he said also that the very elect would be deceived if it were possible, unless he shortened the days. Now, we're talking about the magnitude of deception unlike anything that we have ever seen on the earth. The Lord said that the Great Tribulation will be like nothing ever seen before. Great Tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. Now, we have to kind of get our minds around that, because we're talking about something with an intensity and a magnitude of deception that we really aren't grasping just yet. Now, this is a prelude to it, seeing what we've seen, words that are on your in your Bible, on yourself being changed.
Wow.
Nobody went in there and touched that. But you pick it up, and it says something different than it did a few days ago. This is strong demonic deception preceding the coming of Antichrist.
Right.
Now, what this spirit wants to do is get everybody to think, okay, it was like this, it's always been this way, and get comfortable with that, take us down this rabbit hole even further, and then the lawless one will be able to come on the scene. So this is just the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, also it says the laws, you know, times and laws in the book of Daniel. So, you know, I'm saying to myself, Mike, if they're able to do these type of manipulations, whatever they're doing with this fifth element they've discovered at CERN, obviously they think they're God in a way when they're in for a big surprise. I got news for you. But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, how hard would it be to change some amendments? You know, how hard would it be to... You know, you wake up a week or two from now and you see new laws on the books. I mean, could that happen? Could we go there? You know?
It could. Yes, it could. It was interesting that Obama mentioned touching the arc of history in his 2008 inaugural speech, talking about touching the arc of history and turning it in
and
a more favorable direction.
And bending
yes,
it, yeah.
Yes, it's really interesting.
That was very weird he said that, I got to admit. And we're seeing some... signs of the times, folks. And you know what? It does say, in this hour, when you see these signs, to absolutely look up, because your redemption draw nigh. Amen? So there, we should be rejoicing. But in the same token, we do yearn for souls. We don't want to see anybody miss out on the opportunity to be with the Lord. So the main concept... Listen, we have to evangelize. We have to... Even if it's a Bible tract... Just see what the Lord can do with that. Just, you know, just say, can I give you a Bible tract? Most people say no problem. They take it. As long as they know you're not a Jehovah's Witness, you're okay. And they'll take it. And you never know. Let the Lord take it over from there. So evangelizing has to be a key, people. Yeah, we're almost at the top. Mike Horsey, thank you for coming on, sir.
Thank you for having me, Richard. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love to get you back on when we have more time, too.
Okay, be great.
God bless you, sir.
Bless you.
All right, Jimmy, you there? Jimmy, you there? All right. Lord loves you. We love you. Peace be unto you. And God bless you tonight. We'll be back next week by the grace of God. Amen.